a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation.
Pedro 2, 9 a 12. Pero ustedes son linaje escogido, real sacerdocio, nación santa, pueblo adquirido por Dios, para que anuncien los hechos maravillosos de aquel que los llamó de las tinieblas a su luz admirable. Antes ustedes no eran un pueblo, pero ahora son el pueblo de Dios. Antes no habían sido compadecidos, pero ahora han sido compadecidos. Amados hermanos, como si fueran extranjeros y peregrinos, les ruego que se aparten de los deseos pecaminosos que batallan contra el alma. Mantengan una buena conducta entre los creyentes para que, aunque los acusen de malhechores, al ver las buenas obras de ustedes glorifiquen a Dios el día en que los visite.
Let us pray. Father, our Father in heaven who is with us, we thank you for this day. Father, we know that you are an honorable God, and we thank you because you are a God who honors. Bless your name. Father, I pray that during this time you bless our hearts and our souls, and that we remember that you are held on high and that you love all your children as we journey with you. Bless the faculty and bless the students. And we know we can do these things and you answer us because of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Allow me to welcome you once again to our 2014 Honors Chapel. This event is, one of the most bittersweet chapels each year that we have. This one marks the last chapel of the regular academic year. We know when we join together on this day that next fall, when the school season begins again, we won't all be in this room together. Some will graduate. Hopefully, all of you who are planning to graduate right now will indeed graduate. And you will be in the field. Christian Barrier, we have yet to see, all right? And so it is bittersweet. And it's a time when we come together. There's a lot of symbolism in this service, a lot of memories that go into this service. But it's a time when we lift up a few of the students who have made some significant achievements, significant recognition. I was just about to say this is not something that we broadcast to the rest of the world, but I found out we actually are broadcasting this live today. But it's really not for the outside world. It's for the DCC community. We don't go out and boast about the things that that we win and the achievements, but within the body, within the family, we take this time to recognize some students who have some special things to celebrate. We've added one more thing today, all of you who are recognized today with an award, and if your family members are here, you're all invited to a special banquet with me at the banquet hall immediately afterwards, and so we hope that you'll be able to join us for that. One of the new symbols in our chapel is this podium, this pulpit that I'm speaking from. My wife grew up in the Mimosa Heights Christian Church outside of Oklahoma City, and that church, going back many decades, was a faithful supporter of DCC. The scholarships that were given, the financial support that came, students that came from that church has been significant through the years. The congregation reached a point last year where they decided they were going to close their doors and their members were going to disperse to other congregations. And we were there for that final service. And one of the great concerns they had is they had no home for the pulpit and no home for the communion table. If you come into my office downstairs, you'll see the communion table below the pictures of the presidents, the history of this college. But what's interesting about this particular pulpit and that communion table, it actually was a beautiful pecan tree on the farm of one of the members of Mimosa Heights Church, and a terrible storm came through decades ago. knocked the tree down, and the owner was a cabinet maker who took that tree and dried and cured the wood and handcrafted over many months this beautiful pulpit from which the gospel has been preached for decades. And we bring it into our place as one of the symbols of what we believe in, the declaration of God's word. It's in the very seal of the college, preach the word. Which brings us to the next moment in this service, and that's our message this morning. Professor Gary Hardy will be sharing with us today. Mr. Hardy is from Mooresville, Indiana, graduated from high school in 1976. From there, he did a four-year stint with the Marine Corps, first in Okinawa, and then Guam, came back, got a Bachelor of Theology degree after feeling a call to ministry from Ozark Christian College in 1988. He was a missions major. While he was there, he met his wife, Cindy. After graduating, Gary and Cindy moved back to Guam as missionaries. 6 years in Guam, they returned home once again, and he attended Lincoln Christian Seminary to get his Master of Arts in Urban Missions, and while there, also pastored a bilingual Hispanic church in Chicago. Well, in 2000, the year 2000, the millennium changed for the world and also here at DCC, because that's the year Professor Hardy joined our team here as Professor of Missions and Practical Ministry, as faculty advisor to the DCC Urban Team, and now lending leadership in our ever-expanding Flex Campus program. They have three children, Megan, Caleb, and Ethan, one of whom hopes to graduate this year. I think it's pretty safe. We talk a lot about influence. Every time I stand here, I talk about influence. You probably get tired of hearing me talk about influence, but we talk about influence because we believe you are all going to be people of influence. And the way we measure that influence is different in every person's life. And I'm going to tell you this about Professor Gary Hardy. He is a man of significant influence, and his influence is measured by hundreds of students and graduates who are now serving in churches and missions and shelters all across the globe. And it's not just those hundreds, but it's the thousands and hundreds of thousands that those graduates are touching that he poured his life into. Every week being involved in the missions team, every week in the classroom passionately teaching, whatever needs to be done, this is a man that exemplifies being a leader and being a servant of God. And I consider him a friend. Join me in welcoming Professor Gary Hardy today.
Well, it was a cold Indiana day in January 1982 when I received a large envelope in the mail. When I opened it, I found a certificate that informed me that I had been honorably discharged from the United States Marine Corps. I was actually a little surprised, not because I doubted that my service had been honorable, but frankly, I'd kind of almost forgotten I was still in the Marines at that point. You see, I enlisted in January of 1976, right in the middle of my senior year of high school, on what was called the Delayed Entry Program. That meant that I wouldn't have to go to boot camp and start my 4 years of active duty until July, after I had graduated from high school. And so that's what I did. From that July until June of 1980, I was an active duty Marine. But a military commitment was actually for 6 years. In addition to my 4 years of active duty, I was committed to 2 years of inactive duty. It was so inactive, in fact, that I wasn't required to do anything. No meetings, no drills, just act like I was already a civilian again. Pretty easy. Those 6 months before I went on active duty had actually counted toward it. And that's how it came to be that a year and a half after being released from active duty, I found myself holding that honorable discharge in my hands. Now, to receive an honorable discharge, a service member must have received a rating from good to excellent for his or her service. As a Marine, that meant that I had to have a proficiency in conduct rating of at least 3.0 on a 4-point scale. Sounds kind of like a GPA, right? Well, as I held the honorable discharge in my hands, I reflected on those 4 years for the first time in a while. Now, I don't mind telling you that I was a good Marine. When it came to proficiency, I was very good at my job as a communicator. I'd been named Communicator of the Month when I served at the Naval Communications Area Master Station in Guam. I was also very good at simply being a Marine. I'd also been named Marine of the Month around the same time at the same installation all those years ago. I'd made it from private to sergeant in just 3 years. Not an easy task. But remember how I said there are two areas taken into consideration when evaluating a Marine: proficiency and conduct. It was the second area, conduct, that caused me to do some serious soul searching. Oh, I mean, as far as the Marine Corps was concerned, my conduct was just fine. They would have called it honorable. I even have a good conduct medal laying around somewhere to prove it. The only medal I earned during those 4 years, by the way. Could I have some of yours, Glennie? You got a chest full, brother. I remember when my company commander pinned that medal on me, he said, "Congratulations on not getting caught." He laughed. I laughed. Everybody laughed. But you know what? That's a fairly accurate description of good conduct by Marine Corps standards. Don't get caught. I want you to understand, I'm not ashamed of my conduct during those 4 years, but I can't say that I'm particularly proud of it either. Frankly, I was pretty all in on being a Marine, which meant my guide for conduct was whatever it took to be regarded as a good Marine. But you see, something happened to me in that year and a half since I'd been released from active duty. After I got out and moved back to my hometown, I also re-engaged with my home church, which in turn led me to re-engage with my Lord in a refreshed relationship. And during that time of refreshing my relationship with him, I'd come to embrace a different standard for good or honorable conduct. And perhaps the most important thing I'd learned was that there's a difference between being honored and acting honorably. We're going to be bestowing honors on some of you today. And we believe we're giving honor to whom honor is due, just as Romans 13, 7 says we should. But you don't always know. I mean, it's kind of ironic that the Los Angeles chapter of the NAACP was preparing to give LA Clippers owner Donald Sterling a Lifetime Achievement Award later this month. Well, guess what got canceled after that little audio recording of his comments to his girlfriend got made public a few days ago. It ain't happening now, is it? But you know, here's the thing. Sterling still has another Lifetime Achievement Award that the same chapter gave him 6 years ago. I'm really not sure which is a bigger head scratcher, the fact that one guy can get two Lifetime Achievement Awards from the same organization with only having one lifetime, or that the NAACP would give one to a man we're all hearing now was known to be quite a racist even before that damning audio got made to the public. But it's not the first time, of course, that someone received an award that made some people wonder if the award givers really knew what they were doing. In my lifetime, there have been at least two American winners of the Nobel Peace Prize. And depending on which side of the political aisle you're on, you may say, wait, what? Dr. Henry Kissinger in 1973 and President Obama in 2009. There are other examples I could point to, I suppose, but I think you're getting the idea. See, what I want you to understand is this. It's entirely possible for someone to receive an award that they really don't deserve. But at the same time, it's entirely possible, and even quite likely, that someone can live quite honorably and never receive any awards for it at all. In fact, if I had to wish one of those on you today, I'd wish for the latter. That you would live an honorable life in anonymity instead of receiving public honor for something you didn't deserve. Why am I so concerned about us living honorable lives? I should think that should be fairly obvious, but just in case, here's why. Because God's concerned about us living honorable lives. Sierra and Marlene have already read those words that the Lord gave us through the Apostle Peter, but I want to repeat them once again, just so you know they weren't chosen simply because we thought it'd be a nice idea to read a little scripture at the start of the service today. So 1 Peter 2, 9 through 12, once again. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Brothers and sisters, there you have it. Honorable conduct is about honoring God. The question we should ask ourselves concerning our conduct is not, what honor will this get me, but what honor will this bring to God? Just a couple of days ago, a DCC alumna, Crystal Russell, helped reinforce this in something she posted on Facebook. With her permission, I'm sharing the first few lines of her excellent post. She wrote, "In these past few days, I've noticed posts about how girls should dress and how they shouldn't have to cover up because of men. To all the young ladies, this is what I have to say. Dressing modestly is not about fearing men, but about honoring God. Our bodies are God's temple and should be treated with respect, both by us and by others." If you want to know more about it, Crystal's in the room. She's sitting in the back with her three children. She'll be happy to share more with that, I think. She honored me by coming to hear me read her words today. Of course, living honorably goes beyond just how we dress. It encompasses the whole of our lives, our speech, our actions, even our thoughts and attitudes. But let me go back to Crystal's post for just a moment and lay a little straight talk on you. When I look out at the students in this room today, it isn't hard for me to see that about half of you are very attractive young ladies. And I don't say that to compliment you or to embarrass you or to creep you out. It's just a fact. And to the other half of you students, you men in this room, let me say this. If I can see these ladies, I know for sure you can. And I just have a simple question for you. When you look at them, what do you see? And if your answer is anything other than that you see your sisters who deserve your utmost honor and respect, you're given the wrong answer. Hear these words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 5:2, where he tells a young man to regard younger women as sisters in all purity. And all of us would act honorably by following the example of Job, who said in the NIV rendering of Job 31:1, "I made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a young woman." I'm also not so naive as to think this only goes one way. Lust is a two-way street that quickly turns into a highway to hell. And some of you ladies probably need to make a deal, a covenant with your eyes as well. Now, living honorably is more than just about dealing with lust, although in our oversexed society, it can be a big part of it. Honorable lives are also characterized by honesty. "Let what you say be simply yes or no," says our Lord in Matthew 5:37. Have any of you been the victim of dishonesty? Have any of you dealt dishonestly with others? Colossians 3:12 reminds us that honorable people are compassionate people. Has someone shown you compassion? Are you showing compassion to others? The text we read from 1 Peter earlier closes with, "Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation." What sort of good deeds are you doing? I could go on and on, but I think you get the idea. Living honorably doesn't always result in a pat on the back. Sometimes it feels like a slap in the face or a punch to the gut. It's not always fun, but it must be done. It's not always a thrill, but it is God's will. So as we move on now to the awarding of honors, be very happy if you get one. Be very happy for the other person who gets one, even if you don't. But most of all, at the end of this service, walk out of here determined to be more committed to living honorably than being honored. And one day, may we all be honorably discharged with these words, "Well done, good and faithful servant."
It is at this time that we turn our attention to honor you, the students of Dallas Christian College. If more than one name is announced for a particular scholarship or award, we ask that you hold your applause until the end. We will begin by announcing scholarships. Each year, women from the Northeast Texas and Southeast Texas churches meet for the Area Women's Retreat. This group of women recognizes the need for students to be educated in the Word and the value of this education for women in particular at Dallas Christian College. In order to encourage our women to follow Paul's teaching in 1 Timothy 3:11 to be women worthy of respect, they have designated a scholarship to be awarded to Astrid Linke. In April of 2005, alumni Christopher and Lisa Brentnall established a scholarship to honor a current DCC student who demonstrates Christian character and leadership consistent with DCC's mission. The Brentnall scholarships for 2014 go to Kale McQuillan and Jasana Weiss. The Chapel Hills Christian Church established a scholarship in 1989 to be awarded to those students who demonstrate Christian character consistent with DCC's educational purpose. These students are preferably, but not necessarily, from the state of Oklahoma. This year, the Chapel Hills Christian Church scholarships go to Gavin Lingo and Jacqueline Royce. The Christian Education Scholarship was established by Wallace Worley to recognize one or more students who demonstrate strong potential in the field of education. They also must demonstrate Christian character and meet all the academic criteria stated for education majors in the DCC catalog. This year, the Christian Education Scholarship is awarded to two students, Carissa Schweitzer and Adriana Walton Rogers. DCC alumnus Burtis E. White and his wife, Chan, established the Christian Ministry Scholarship in October of 2001. This scholarship was established in the spirit of 2 Timothy 4:2, which says, "Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage, with great patience and careful instruction." This year, there are two recipients, Joshua Houston and Megan Tomlinson. Marilyn Fogan was a student at DCC from 1987 to 1989. During her time as a student, she was instrumental in initiating the beginnings of what would one day become known as the Urban Team Ministry. She was only at DCC a short time because she died after battling cancer. Yet she left a lasting legacy of ministry to the inner city that continues today. In 1990, a scholarship was established in her memory to recognize female students who demonstrate a high level of Christian character and leadership consistent with a DCC educational purpose. The 2014 Marilyn Fogan Memorial Scholarship goes to Diana Jimenez. In 2010, the Mordecai Men, a group of men from Compass Christian Church, Colleyville, who meet weekly for a Bible study, established a scholarship for a DCC student. Later that year, one of the members of the Mordecai Men and former DCC employee, Corey Ford, died. The Mordecai Men determined that the scholarship will be renamed in his honor as the Corey Ford Memorial Scholarship. Applicants for the scholarship submitted an essay on the topic, "How Can My Life Be an Influence Like That of Mordecai or Esther?" The recipients for the Corey Ford Memorial Scholarships are Vanessa Munoz and Corey Williams. Bill Gaslin held a longtime ministry in Spring, Texas, and served for many of those years as a trustee of the college. He mentored many young men who came to DCC as Timothys from his church, as well as many DCC students who served as interns under his leadership. In 2007, a group known as the Tanglewood Men established a scholarship in his memory. The William O. Gaslin Memorial Scholarships go to Devin Auten and in absentia, Joshua Smith. Henry Hauff was an avid supporter and active participant in missions around the globe. One of the many missions he encouraged was Dallas Christian College. Many students majoring in intercultural studies at DCC were assisted by Mr. and Mrs. Hauff. After his death, his family and the members of Central Christian Church of Richardson, Texas, established a scholarship in his memory. This year, the Henry Hauff Memorial Scholarship is awarded to Paul Justice. The Dennis James Morgan Scholarship was established by DCC professor Dr. Bill Morgan and his wife Dorothy in memory of their son who was killed in an automobile accident while enrolled as a student at DCC in the fall of 1973. This year, the Dennis James Morgan Scholarships go to Michael Grigsby and Adrian Yarbrough. Daniel L. Penny graduated from DCC in 1983 and immediately went to a small rural church to begin his career as a preaching minister. While helping one of the members of his congregation, he died in a farming accident. A scholarship was established by his surviving wife, Dawn Penny, now Don O'Banion, to honor his memory. The Daniel L. Penny Scholarship goes to Erica Gay. In 2008, a scholarship was established in honor of Myron and Eleanor Reichardt of Richmond, Texas. Since then, both have gone on to be with the Lord. Today, they are remembered for their influence for the kingdom and their friendship with the college. The Myron and Eleanor Reichardt Memorial Scholarship goes to two students, Emery Chavez and Zachary Sharp. In 2007, a scholarship was established by two DCC alumni, James and Joyce Royce. This scholarship is to encourage students who seek to be an influence, specifically in a ministry setting. The James and Joyce Royce scholarship goes to Benjamin Lancer. Ed Shorstein came to DCC as a transfer student and a brand new Christian in 1973. He began working with the maintenance department as a student and later became the full-time facilities director while continuing to pursue a degree as a part-time student. Eventually, he put all of his efforts into his work with the college and his lay ministry with the local congregation. Eventually, Mr. Ed, as he is fondly remembered, did complete his bachelor's degree while working full-time at DCC in 1996. In 2001, he was called to full-time ministry in Colorado, and it was there that he died suddenly in 2007. In 2010, his wife, alumnus Kara Shorstein, established a scholarship in his honor. This year, the recipients are Miles Burnside and Sade Gar. The Bob and Carol Smith Memorial Scholarship was originally established by Ms. Smith in her memory of her husband. Following her death in 2000, her family renamed the scholarship in honor of their mother as well. This year, the Bob and Carol Smith Memorial Scholarship is awarded to Chloe Falls and Joshua Wolf. Roy Wheeler was the senior pastor of Paramount Terrace Christian Church, later called Hillside Christian Church in Amarillo, Texas, for over 30 years. He is officially retired from the full-time preaching ministry, but continues to serve as an associate pastor at Hillside. He has also served as a trustee at DCC for many years, and Wheeler Lecture Hall was named in his honor. Friends and family of Roy Wheeler established a scholarship in his honor in 2005. This year, the Roy Wheeler Scholarship goes to Hugh, Alex Dennis, and Jonathan McDonald.
We have a couple more scholarships. I think it's a great shame that you haven't had the opportunity to meet the people that these scholarships are named after. If I had time for the next 2 hours, I could tell stories about some of the great people on these lists. As I think back through that, Wallace Worley, Mark Worley's dad, the incredible role he played in the history here, and his mom as well, establishing that foundation. Burtis and Chan White, faithful servants and alumni of the college. Corey Ford, some friends of Corey's are here. Corey was my right-hand man in fundraising for several years. I can't think of the guy without smiling, and he died way too young of a rare blood disorder. Bill Gaslin, I believe, probably signed my diploma at graduation, right? Crystal, he would have been chairman of the board at that time. Danny Penny, without doubt, in my graduating class, was the young leader and minister with more potential than anyone else who lost his life serving others. Right on down the list, Ed Shorstein, Roy Wheeler, we could go on, and the reason they allow me to introduce the next two scholarships are just, again, they're stories that intersected my life. The Les Hoyt Scholarship. It's named after Les Hoyt. He's the brother of George Hoyt, one of our graduates from Louisiana. Les was a character. Les was a Cajun in a character. He was, when I went to college, I've told you many times, I grew up on a farm in Nebraska. I was the youngest of three boys, and my dad was having a difficult time getting things planned for the fall harvest if I moved away to Dallas. And unbeknownst to me, Les, behind my back, had called Dad and said, hey, I'll come up and help with the harvest because Dusty really needs to be at DCC. So he went up for several months, helped my dad, came back, was helping another farmer, I believe in his church in Louisiana, when he was killed in an accident. And our family put together a scholarship for him and a dear, dear friend. The winners this year of the Hoyt Scholarship are Selah Burnett and Sonia Carrillo. And the last scholarship that I'll introduce, also a big part of my story, is named in the honor of my dad, J.W. Rubeck. My dad, his dad, his granddad, they all farmed, starting out in Pennsylvania, moving to Illinois, then Iowa, and settling in Nebraska. 2008, my parents decided, my dad's health was failing, decided to sell the farm, took part of that money to establish a scholarship fund here at DCC, and have continued to invest in that fund to this day. My dad was a great man of faith. He was a laborer, a farmer most of his life, and a contractor here in Dallas, and he loved the Lord, and he loved to share that love with the Lord with everyone that he ran into. I wish you could have met him. Good man, and I'm very pleased that we have this scholarship to carry on his legacy. We have four winners of the J.W. Rubeck Scholarship this year. They are Ashley Hudspeth, Sydney Lubin, Irvin Rodriguez, also known as Chris, right? And Cassandra Whittle. Before I pass this over to Mr. Hinton, I want to point out one additional type of influence. Every one of the scholarships that have just been given out have been given because of a particular type of influence, and it's the influence of American dollars. Every one of these scholarships is made possible because people love the Lord, believe in the ministry of DCC, believe in you enough to have sent a significant amount of money to this institution so that every year they could be a financial blessing to you. I mention that to you because that is a form of influence, and because I have very significant expectations that some of you out there will do well one day, and you will remember this day, and you too will share in the future to help the students that come after you at Dallas Christian College. Mr. Hinton?
The Campus Living Awards are presented to the students in the residence hall who make the greatest positive contribution through the year in those residence halls. And those awards are selected by your peers at one of the final devotions. I'll announce both of those recipients at this time. The Newland Hall Resident Award goes in absentia to Josh Smith, and the Winslow Hall goes to Sydney Lubin.
Beginning with our academic awards, we have several recipients of Who's Who among students in American universities and colleges. This is an annual award presented to outstanding junior and senior students selected by the faculty. These students have demonstrated exceptional academic ability, service to the school, community, and/or church, and great potential for leadership. The number of recipients is based on the size of the student body. This year's recipients are Adriana Alamon, Sonia Carrillo, Luann Cubbage, please come up when I say your name. Don't just sit there and smile. Kathy Failbaum, Marlene Fernandez, Tammy Glaser, Michael Grigsby, Miranda Halen, Sydney Lubin, Bobby Murphy, Joseph Payne, Jackie Royce, Karina Talavera, and April Welsh. Scholastic awards are given each year to the students with the highest grade point average in each class. Senior awards for valedictorian, salutatorian are given at commencement, but freshman, sophomore, and junior awards are given at this assembly. Freshman Scholastic Award is based on one traditional semester of work, 12 hours or more. This year, that award goes to the student with a GPA of 3.92, Selah Burnett. The Sophomore Scholastic Award is based on three traditional semesters of work, two fall and one spring, and 31 credit hours or more. The Sophomore Award this year goes to a student with a GPA of 3.96, Benjamin Lancer. And the Junior Scholastic Award is based on 5 traditional semesters of work, 3 fall and 2 spring, and 61 credit hours or more. The Junior Award this year goes to a student with a GPA of 3.83, Megan Tomlinson. The next award is the Delta Epsilon Chi Honor Society Award. This is a National Academic and Leadership Honor Society sponsored by the Association of Biblical Higher Education, which is our accrediting body. Membership can be awarded by a vote of the faculty to no more than 7% of the graduating class in any one year. These graduation candidates awarded must have a 3.3 GPA or better and demonstrate Christian character and leadership ability. We have 4 recipients this year. They are Michelle Lynn Braden, Jessica Lynn Moore, Bobby Murphy, April Angela Fowler Welsh.
And now for the departmental awards. The first one comes from the Arts and Science Department. The Humanities Award is presented by the Arts and Science Department to a graduating interdisciplinary studies major who has demonstrated high academic achievement in all their studies. This year, the Humanities Award goes to Tom Wilson. This next award is a very special award to us. It's the Dr. Kara Snyder Christian Humanitarian Award. It is an award established in 2013 by the Arts and Science Department to honor one of our faculty members who has a Christian spirit in her humanitarian life. So, this is chosen by the faculty and students of the college, nominate people for the departmental consideration. Nominees are those students who have mentored or have assisted other students in their academic and or spiritual development while at Dallas Christian College. So this year, the 2014 Dr. Kara Snyder Christian Humanitarian Award is being presented to Marlene Fernandez.
In 1996, the Dallas Christian College Bible Department established a Biblical Studies Award to be selected by the faculty of the department. The criteria for selecting the recipient of the award includes a graduating senior who has completed at least 20 hours of Bible with an excellent GPA in Bible and theology classes, and a student who has compiled an outstanding portfolio from their work and writing in those courses, who has demonstrated superior application of exegetical skills. The student may be either a BA or a BS student, although preference is given to Bachelor of Arts students because of study of Greek and Hebrew. They are also chosen because they have demonstrated an appreciation, respect for Scripture, and a desire to study Scripture seriously. This year, the recipient of the Biblical Studies Award goes to Christian Dominique. the Stone Campbell Promising Scholars Award are undergraduate and graduate students chosen annually by editors and friends of the Stone Campbell Journal at educational institutions associated with the Stone Campbell Restoration Movement. Students demonstrating high potential for success in future academic pursuits are nominated each spring, with undergraduate institutions allowed one nominee. Those named Promising Scholars are presented a certificate from the Stone Campbell Journal, a copy of the current issue of the Stone Campbell Journal, a one-year subscription to the journal, and a free registration to the Stone Campbell Journal Conference the following year. The names of the Promising Scholars are also listed on the Stone Campbell Journal website. This year, the Stone Campbell Journal Promising Scholar Award from Dallas Christian College goes in absentia to Andrew P. Heisler.
As I give out a Greek language award, I can't help but say, Kyrene. If you don't know what that means you just need to take Greek at DCC, doesn't it? My students better know what that means. Giving out the Zondervan Greek Award in 1999, Zondervan Publishing House sponsored an annual award for Dallas Christian College to give a student for outstanding achievement in the study of Biblical Greek. The recipient of this award has completed, or is the final semester of completing, 4 semesters of Greek at DCC. This student must have an excellent GPA in Greek classes, should demonstrate superior knowledge of vocabulary and syntax, and superior abilities to translate the Greek New Testament. This student has demonstrated superior skills in the application of exegetical skills and an appreciation for the Greek New Testament by exhibiting a desire to use Greek in ministry settings. Zondervan graciously provides a Greek reference work for the recipient, and a plaque in the C.C. Crawford Library lists the awards recipients for each year. The recipient is selected by the Bible Department and Greek faculty of DCC. This year, the award goes to a woman in Christ, Marlene Fernandez. One other award, the Homiletics Award. The Dallas Christian College Bible Department and Homiletics faculty select a student each year for an award in homiletics. The recipient should be a graduating senior who has demonstrated outstanding preaching ability and has shown promise for utilizing their gifts in the preaching ministry. This year, the DCC Homiletics Award goes to Brandon Navar.
Each year, the college awards the Dr. Leroy C. Weiniger Award to the Bible Department graduate who demonstrates outstanding Christian character, academic ability, and commitment to Christian ministry. It is my privilege at this time to announce this year the Dr. Leroy C. Weiniger Award goes in absentia to Flux student Andrew P. Heisler.
The Church Musician Award is presented to the most outstanding worship arts student who demonstrates not only musical talent and ability, but also, more importantly, Christian character and goals. This award is voted on by the Worship Arts Department faculty, and it is my honor this year to present the award to 2 recipients, Joseph Payne and April Welsh. The Robert E. Weber Institute for Worship Studies, along with Dallas Christian College, presents the Award of Distinction this year for Outstanding Scholarship in Leadership in Christian Worship. This will go to a senior who exhibits exceptional scholarship, leadership, and diligence in the area of Christian worship. To be eligible for the award, the recipient must have a minimum grade point average of 3.7 and is based on the recommendation of the Dallas Christian College Worship Arts faculty. The Award of Distinction includes a $1,000 per semester scholarship to begin graduate studies in Christian worship at the Robert E. Weber Institute for Worship Studies. The Master of Worship Studies program will afford the award winner the premier opportunity to go into greater depth in the biblical, theological, historical, sociological, and missiological reflections of Christian worship. The Award of Distinction for Outstanding Christian Scholarship and Leadership in the Area of Worship is presented this year to April Welsh.
Award is presented to the most outstanding student in the business department who demonstrates outstanding Christian character, an exceptional understanding of major business principles from a Christian perspective, and who promotes the mission of Dallas Christian College. They are selected by the faculty of the business department, and I'm pleased to announce this year the department chose two outstanding Roaring Lambs. The first one is Christian Dominique. The second award goes to Paul Lucky.
Each year, the college gives the Lucille L. Perkins Award to the Business Department graduation candidate who demonstrates outstanding Christian character, academic ability, and commitment to Christian service within an administrative context. It is my privilege to announce the recipient for this year for the Lucille L. Perkins Award to Kathy Felbo.
The Education Department gives an award for leadership and service. The Education Department of Dallas Christian College, got to put my glasses on, has established an award for leadership and service. The recipient is one who is a graduating senior from the department who has an overall GPA of 3.0 or higher, who promotes leadership and service to individuals, the college, and the community, and who fosters personal and professional development of peers through example. This year, the Leadership and Service in Education Award goes to Miranda Halen.
The Outstanding Psychology Student Award is presented each year to the outstanding student. This is the first year that this award is actually being given. It's given to a graduating senior from the department with a GPA of 3.5 or higher and a GPA in the psychology major of 3.75 or higher. The recipient must be planning to further their education by attending graduate school in the field of psychology. The honoree is selected by the faculty of the psychology department. The very first Outstanding Psychology Student Award goes to Shea Wood.
Each year we present what we view as one of the highest awards presented at DCC, the Servant Award. The reason that this is the highest award is that the recipient is selected by you, the student body. It epitomizes what Jesus did in John, the 13th chapter, and it's at the core of who we are as people of influence at DCC. In John 13, Jesus wrapped a towel around his waist and washed the disciples' feet, the model of servanthood. In fact, Jesus said, "I've set you an example that you should do as I've done for you. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them." Every year, there are many who are nominated, this year more than most years, which is a testimony of who we are at DCC. In fact, this year's vote was pretty interesting. I'll share a little bit more about that in a minute. But this year's recipient for the Servant Award is Bobby Murphy. Almost every Servant Award recipient says to me what Bobby just said to me. I don't deserve this. I told you just a couple of seconds ago that this year was very interesting. We asked in chapel for all of the students to write down their nominations for that person who they wanted or they thought epitomized servanthood. Bobby, I got to tell you, you were not the top vote. It was very interesting to us that this year, with outstanding votes from you, the students, you really broke the rules because it was supposed to be a student. But the recipient of the most votes for Servant Award, President Rubeck, happened to be you. Student government put together and developed a booklet. Actually goes with the building outside, but they also wanted to present this to you as well, President Rubeck. So the words of the students and faculty and staff who voted for you, President Rubeck.
I guess you probably know this. It's the Dallas Christian College bathroom reader, so I'm going to read all of this out loud slowly to you now. Bobby, you deserve that award. I truly do not, and thank you. That's a great honor. I love you guys. That's a bad plan. For me to try to close the service now. You know, the thing about being in leadership is you get so many rewards that the rest of the people don't get. And that's why I say I truly don't deserve this, because I receive so many rewards in leading this place. And I'll miss you so much next year.
I don't know if you all know the history of the building out there, but several months ago, do you all know this? Does everybody know this? So I'll just tell you briefly. Lunch will wait. Several months ago, meeting with faculty and staff at one of our Friday afternoon lunch meetings, I said, you know, when I came here as president, one of the things I really wanted to do is I wanted to leave a building behind, a dormitory, you know, so I wanted to leave a new building behind. I said, even if it was an outhouse, I would just like to leave a building behind. And so last week at our spring board retreat, Gary Adams, who obviously has way too much time on his hands between NASCAR racing and I don't know what else, builds the world's most beautiful outhouse, and the board names it Rubeck Hall, and that's what's sitting out there. And after the meeting was over, Gary comes up and says, "Well, where do you want me to move this?" I go, "Well, what do you mean? Well, where do you want me to put it?" I go, "You know, it's really not my problem." He says, "Yeah, we built this for you." I said, "Gary, I was very specific. When I left here, I wanted to leave a building behind, and I will be leaving that building." That building behind. Actually, I was thinking about selling off the naming rights and talk to Jerry Jones, and we're not gonna make that happen. Thanks a lot. I will look forward to reading this. You honor me beyond. You honor me. The rest of the conversation about the building was this. And I speak for all of your faculty and staff when I say this. The legacy we intend to leave behind is you. And we are so pleased when we look at our legacy of the small part we've got to have in each one of your journeys and adventures. You are our legacy. We invest in you because we believe in you. We invest because we believe God will use you to change the world. And let me tell you something, the world needs to be changed. The world needs you. The world needs crusaders. The world needs people of influence. And you are those people. Every day, we get to wake up knowing that our legacy is invested in the lives of some of the best men and women in the world, gathered right here, worshiping their God in this room, preparing to be people of influence. And in the years ahead, I simply cannot wait to read the news and hear the stories about the things that you will achieve in the kingdom of God. You all are the best. Thanks for that. We will honor one more group before we end today. And last week, in between all the busyness of giving me an outhouse, the board also had the time to vote on the graduating class of 2014. So the 50-some students who are up for graduation this year were all approved by our Board of Trustees. If you are on the slate to graduate this spring, I'd like you to stand and for us to honor you right now. Graduates, on your feet. Thank you, and I cannot wait to hand you your diploma just a few days from now. And you can't wait to take it. I know Mr. Barrier. So, hey, just a couple of other reminders. Friday night is the sports banquet, and that's the opportunity we have of giving honors to outstanding athletes for the year. So I hope that you're able to join and be in on that. Again, if you received a scholarship or an award today, you and any of your family members can march right by. I'll be taking pictures in front of Rubeck Hall if you need, in front of the outhouse. But in the banquet hall, we've got a special banquet and just a bit more program for you. This has been a good day, and we are so pleased with each one of you, and so pleased to be bringing this school year to an end. So at this point, if you would stand, Nate Robinson is going to come and share in a benediction, and then you will be dismissed. God bless you.
Let's remove our hats and bow our heads, please. Dear Holy and Gracious Father, we thank you
We thank you for being the creator of the universe. We thank you for being perfect. We thank you for speaking this world into existence. We thank you for more intimately breathing life into us, Lord. And we thank you for calling us your children and your offspring and your adopted sons. Lord, we thank you for Dallas Christian College and the influence and the impact that it's made on our lives and the impact that it's made on the world. We thank you for the faculty and staff. We thank you for the students. We thank you for each and every person in here who is going to be a person of influence for a life of influence, to make an impact on the rest of the world through you and by you, Lord. We pray that you be with us. We pray that you continue to make us learned people and to understand it as you who knows everything and knows it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.